Welcome to this podcast series, Transform Your Life by Understanding Bhagavad Gita. This is your host, Dr. Sanjeev Haribhakti, and I'm here not just because I'm a surgeon by profession, but because I'm a student of Vedanta since 2008 with the blessings of my teacher, Guru Ma Samananda Saraswati Ji at Samadarshan Ashram. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Adhyaya 12th is the Bhakti Yoga, the path of devotional worship to the Almighty. In the 12th Adhyaya, Shri Krishna shows the path to union with God with devotional worship. God is all benevolent to all the beings and His grace is on everyone, His Samanya Krupa. However, to have His special attention, His Vishesh Krupa, we need to do something special for the Lord. And that special is devotional worship or bhakti. Scriptures and Guru can show us the goal and ways to achieve them. The goal, lakshya or sadhya is one, attaining the divinity. While the roads to reach there are many, the sadhana that we take according to our individual eligibility. The three main roads are the path of karma, the path of devotion or bhakti, and the path of jnana or knowledge. The path of devotion or bhakti yoga is one of the main ways for us to connect to the divine. These three paths are chosen based on the eligibility or adhikaritva of the individual. However, commonly all the three are needed, and the final means to the freedom is the path of knowledge. For devotion and worship, bhakti to develop towards the divine, faith or shraddha plays a very important role. For faith and devotion are intricately connected. Faith is the first step on the spiritual journey. Faith in God's grace, Ishwara Krupa, enables the first step towards the devotion. The continuation on the spiritual journey is also due to His grace or Ishwara Krupa, and for the devotee, the final step of God attainment is also His grace, Ishwara Krupa. Devotion is essential for all aspirants, and this is the subject matter of the 12th Adhyaya Bhakti Yoga, comprising of 20 verses, a very beautiful Adhyaya which can be remembered well and is very important for chanting repeatedly. The first verse commences with Arjuna's question. After having heard the different forms of the Divine God from the 7th to the 11th Adhyaya, his question is simple and very relevant. Having heard that devotion is an important way to connect to the divine, Arjuna asks, should I worship the form of the God, the Saguna Upasana, or the formless divine, the Nirguna Upasana? Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam pariupasate. He says, those devotees, those who are constantly connected with you, with Saguna Upasana, who are fully involved or committed to your devotion, ye chapyakshara avyaktam, or those devotees who are devoted to your changeless, unmanifest form, the Nirguna Upasaka. Tesham ke yoga vittamaha. So he asks, Arjuna asks, out of these two paths, who is the real knower of yoga path? There is only one supreme divinity, Brahma, with many forms, different deities or devata. One can worship any form of the divine, and there are many paths to the divine in Yoga Shastra to know and attain the divine, the Brahma Vidya. Naturally, the question comes to our mind, which one is superior to the other? The two distinct forms of the divine are the divine in an incarnate form or a visual form, or as in an idol, the Saguna Swarupa, or the supreme divinity in its original formless self, the Nirguna Tattva. When we think of devotion, we generally do it in some form of the divine, the Saguna Bhakti. Arjuna has clearly understood that both are different forms of devotion. Devotion to the Saguna Bhakti is generally in the form of Seva, Puja, Archana, some offering, Bhoga, prayers, Prarthana, Aarti, or devotional music in the form of Bhajana, Kirtana and others. On the other hand, the formless devotion is a subtler form of devotion in the form of Japa and Dhyana, meditation. Who qualifies to be a devotee? One who keeps a share, a bhaga for God during all his time in life, in money, in praise, in all aspects. When one sees the hand of the divine, that person is a devotee. Bhago bhaktaha, one who keeps a share of the God, bhaga, is a devotee. A devotee partners God in all his or her actions, karma, thinking I am just an instrument, he is the doer. I am the performer, but he is the one who gives. He is the karma phala data and therefore understands, do our best and leave the rest. A devotee understands, I am the part or the ansha of the whole, the Bhagavan, and also all the beings are also part of ansha of the divine Anshi. Just as on an individual perspective, microcosm, or on a body level, same as on a universal perspective, the macrocosm or cosmos, every being and everything is just a part and parcel of the divine. Just as there is a close coordination and cooperation between several organs and systems in a human body, similarly there is a coordination between everything in the cosmos. There is no competition, that because all are parts of the divine. Each one is made unique, and therefore there is no need for comparison with each other. Each one of us needs to do our duty selflessly and share the fruits with others. This attitude helps us to have a total acceptance of all situations and surrender to the Almighty in all aspects of life. Bhagavan Krishna answers, choose the safe and the suitable alternative to begin with. He says, Maya Veshya Mano Ye Mam, one who keeps his mind in me, Nitya Yukta Upasate, and who is constantly devoted to me, Paraya Shraddhaya Upetaha, filled with utmost trust, Te Me Yukta Tamamataha. That is the most suitable yogi in my opinion, he says. Krishna answers that a committed and a faithful devotee is the most suitable yogi to reach the divine. He says, one whose mind is filled with the grace of the divine at all times and worships the divine at all times with utmost faith is the most ideal devotee. He does not commit whether devotion to the saguna form or devotion of the formless nirguna bhakti is better than the other. The choice of the means or the sadhana depends on the eligibility or suitability of the seeker or the devotee. Bhagavan says, Maya Veshya Mano Ye Mam, fill your mind with me. The goal is to forget our own self-identity, our pride, which is a hindrance to the attainment of the divine. The spiritual journey is to go within while doing everything outside. While we do all our actions, karma, we can have God in our mind all the time. When we find time from our worldly affairs, we can sit in silence and contemplate on God. We may think, how is this even possible? Bhagavan says, constantly be devoted to me, Nitya Yukta Upasate. To remain in constant communion with the divine means that our mind and our actions are aligned at one place. While we worship the Almighty, our mind is also there. And while we are doing all our daily chores, our mind is filled with His name. The mind can only be filled with the divine if the highest priority is God. And this will happen gradually, and we need to constantly keep doing it every day, every moment. Unwavering faith in the divine, Paraya Shraddhaya Upetaha. He says, faith is very important in the spiritual aspect, faith in the scriptures and the Guru, because it is completely unknown to us, this path. And it is said that faith moves mountains, and our daily experience will also supplement this. Wherever we have faith, we will commit toward those tasks and do them well. On the spiritual journey, faith in the scriptures, teacher and God is essential. Faith in one's own self, Atma Shraddha, to become our own light is also essential for me to achieve this goal described in the scriptures. The foundation of devotion is faith on which it is based. Devotion to the form or saguna is step by step safer and more are eligible for this path, while the devotion to the nirguna is more difficult and very few are eligible for this path. The final goal for both the paths is the same, it is God attainment. And this is what Krishna describes in the next few verses. He talks about describes the formless divine, the nirguna tattva. And describing this nirguna tattva, Bhagavan says, Yetu Pariupasate, those who worship this nirguna tattva, which is Aksharam, which is changeless, indestructible, all-pervading, Anirdeshyam, impossible to show by words or senses, Avyaktam, which is unmanifest, formless, and most subtle, Sarvatragam, which is omnipresent, Achintyam, which is unthinkable, unimaginable, Kutastham Achalam Dhruvam, which is changeless, immovable, and eternal. Krishna first shows the highest goal, and this is how our scriptures are organized. Even in Bhagavad Gita, in the second adhyaya, Krishna first shows Arjuna the highest goal and then shows the ways to achieve them, starting with Karma Yoga, the first step of the spiritual journey. The highest goal is to know the formless divine, the Nirguna Tattva, also called Brahma in Vedanta, which is unmanifest, changeless, eternal, impossible to describe in words or experience by senses, all-pervading, unimaginable, vast, and subtlest of all, which is unchanging foundation, and witness of all, Kutastha. The perfect knowledge of this highest supreme divinity, Brahma Vidya, is ultimate goal of all scriptures and even Bhagavad Gita. And now Krishna describes the three characteristics of a Nirguna devotee. Sanyamyendriya Gramam, by control over the senses, Indriya Sanyama, Sarvatra Samabuddhayaha, everywhere is equipoised, Samata, Sarvabhuta Hiterataha, involved in the good of all the beings, he has non-violence or ahimsa, Te Prapnuvanti Mameva, they attain me only, they become one with me. Shri Krishna shows how in the path of the formless devotion, the self-restraint or self-control over oneself is needed. One needs a control over our senses, Indriya Sanyama, our mind, Manasayama, and our own body, Sharira Sayama. And these three will enable us to focus on the subtlest of all, the formless divine Nirguna Tattva. Control over our senses of Sanyamya Indriya Gramam. Sense control over our five knowledge senses, the Pancha Gnanendriya, and the five action senses, the Pancha Karmendriya, is important in any form of spiritual journey, more so in the formless worship, the Nirguna Bhakti, as the goal is subtlest of all. It is Ati Sukshma. The control implies balance. It does not imply suppression, but modulation with understanding. These need some form of detachment from the world with a correct understanding of the limitations of the material enjoyments. Initially, this kind of restraint will need to be enforced, Dhamma, but later it will become natural, Shama. This needs awareness and understanding. The first is the clear understanding that all the worldly objects are temporary in nature, and the happiness they provide is also transient. The second is that they keep me incomplete and always make me want for more and more. The third and the most important is that they make me dependent on them, paradhina. With this clear understanding, we should think of the worthy and clear goals of life and take all decisions judiciously. Equipoised at all times, sarvatra samabuddhayaha. Equipoise, samatva, is one of the important means, and samatva is the goal, as Brahma is also sama. The mind needs to be quiet to feel the subtlest tattva, sukshma tattva. In all difficult situations of life, we must remain equipoised by our natural restraint. We need to avoid any comparisons and competition to get stressed or anxious. Each one of us is unique, and there is none like us in the universe. Doing good for all other beings, sarvabhuta hite rataha. The person thinks of others and always tries to help others. He, she always hopes for the best for everyone. This person does not hurt anyone, practices non-violence as an important principle, ahimsa paramo dharma. Such a person is a selfless person and cares about not just other people but also other species as well. The conclusion or tatparya is that a combination of both forms of devotion to the manifest Saguna Bhakti and the unmanifest Nirguna Bhakti is essential in one's spiritual journey, Adhyatma Sadhana, to attain the divine. Krishna explains why the formless devotion is much more difficult than the devotion of the form. He says, Klesha Adhiktara Tesham Avyakta Asakta Chetasam. Those devoted to the formless Nirguna Tattva have more difficulties on the path. Avyakta Hi Gatir Dukha Dehavad Biravapyate, because they are more identified to their body. We are all firmly identified with our body and believe this body is our real identity, our real self. These form impressions are within us since many lives and we don't even know the beginning. We seldom question these firm beliefs. It is only our scriptures and the Guru who points out to us that the seer, the drashta, is different from the seen, the drashya. This wise and clear discrimination, viveka, is what we need to do all the times. Only then our strong identification to our body as our true self will gradually lessen and we shall be able to become aware of our true self, which is the seer, the observer of all the time, not just during the awake state, but also during the dream state and the deep sleep state. And this true self, the pure awareness, which remains the same in all the three states. Krishna describes the method of the devotion to the Saguna Bhakti, starting with Karma Yoga. Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya mat paraha. He says, surrender all your actions to me and take shelter or refuge in me. Ananya eva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. With one pointed commitment to devote to me, contemplate on me. Surrendering all our actions to the Lord means that we do all our actions for Him, to please Him with His orders, His energy, by His grace. God is connected with us in all the actions. We do not need to change our actions, but connect with Him in all our actions. This encompasses all my personal, professional, social, and family duties. By connecting with God, we mean that during all this work or karma, we remember God, that we are just instruments, nimitta matra, in the hands of the divine. While all the results of our actions, karma phala, are received, we thank the Lord and accept it completely as an offering from the God as a prasad. Accepting my shelter, mat paraha, is for the devotee who surrenders to the God. Faith is important for one to have surrendered to Almighty, and this is an important aspect of devotion or bhakti. This kind of surrender to the divine helps us to release our doership pride, kartrutva, as it is the biggest obstacle on our spiritual journey. One point commitment in devotion, ananya eva yogena, is the devotion of the highest order. The devotee sees the world as a manifestation of the Lord and feels divinity in all, and in all that he does, sees the grace of the divine. God is the most important priority for this devotee, and he or she does not use the God for achieving worldly possessions, but uses all the material comforts of life for the achievement of divinity. Contemplate and devote to me, mam dhyayanta upasate, means devotion to the God in any form, either the cosmic form, the Vishwarupa Darshana Dhyana, as the eightfold manifestations, Ashtamurti, comprising the five great elements, along with the mind, intellect and ego, or devotion of any one form, the Ishtadeva Murti, or the name chanting and the devotional worship of the Japa or Dhyana. What does God do for such a devotee who does complete devotion to Him? Maya Veshita Chetisam Tesha Maham Samudharta Bhavami. Bhagavan says, those whose mind is completely into me, I deliver them from Mrityu Sansara Sagarat, the ocean of life and death, immediately, instantly, Nachirat. And what is this is the biggest benefit that one point devotion brings, and this is more than 1000 times that what the devotee does for the Lord. For those devoted who have intense devotion with commitment, God gives them the highest and the most beneficial gift. He says, I deliver them from the ocean of life and death. Mrityu sansara sagara tesham aham samuddharta. He says, samsara. Samsara means one which keeps sliding. Samsarati, which keeps always changing, getting distracted every moment to eventual death of the body, which is inevitable and most unpredictable in the cycle of life and death. This ocean is likened to the material world, as it is difficult to cross, and that's why we need help. I must keep trying. Only God can rescue us from the cycle of helplessness and uncertainties. Who are such suitable devotees? Those whose mind are in the Lord Maya Veshita Chetasam, highest standard of devotion, like Gopi, Radha, Meera, Narsi, those who have never thought anything except the Lord. The devotee knows for sure it is only worth to have God in the mind, and everything else is just flimsy. For such devotees, God lifts them up for their upliftment, for their uddhara, samuddhara. How is it possible? By His grace or His magical powers? No, scripture says only by knowledge alone freedom is possible. God ignites a flame of knowledge in the devotees, and that's how He uplifts the devotees. And there is a direct relationship between bhakti or devotion and knowledge or jnana, and leading to freedom or moksha. God expects everything from a devotee. Mayeva mana adatsva, He says, give me your mind, mai buddhim niveshaya, place your intellect into me, nivasishyasi mayeva, you shall live in me only, atah urdvam na sanshaya, there is no doubt about this. Krishna starts the description of the devotion by stating the highest goal for a devotee. He says, give me both your mind and your intellect, mayeva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, both our prized possessions, best assets as an individual. This sounds easy, but it's very difficult to achieve in life. Actually, our mind and intellect governs our life. For most people, mind and intellect are as crossroads at each other, creating all the friction and disturbances in our life. Both are in competition all the time, creating a kind of internal war between the mind and the intellect. Right from the morning when we wake up, the mind wants to laze around for some time, whereas the intellect wants us to wake up and start our daily chores. The gap between our mind and our intellect determines our personality. The lesser the gap, more matured are we, and this is a result of the spiritual journey. The goal is to develop an integrated personality, yukta, where the body, mind and intellect becomes one. Our mind and intellect are essentially our identity. Giving our mind and intellect to God essentially means losing our identity. The two biggest obstacles on our spiritual path are our attachments to the material worlds, including persons, mamatva, determined by our mind, and our limited identification to ourself, our ego, aham, which is determined by our intellect. This creates an illusion of a separate identity for ourself, and we do everything possible to protect this identity, in psychology referred to as ego defense mechanisms. Surrendering our mind and intellect to the divine helps us to transfer our attachments and our ego from the world or our limited identification to God and merging with the Lord's eternal identity. And it's not like losing our identity, but actually sublimating our own identity by knowing our complete true self. Just like when a river merges with an ocean, the river rejoices in losing its identity and merging with the enormous ocean. Placing your mind only in me, mayeva manatatsva, shows a commitment, priority, and that we need to set in our mind. Mind is full of desires, emotions, thoughts. We need to channelize everything towards the God. All that we must have is a desire to achieve Him, and all feelings of vritti should arise only for Him. Devotion means joining with Him with faith. Does not mean breaking away from this world, but it only means whatever we do in life along with We do it along with His name all the time, Nam Smarana, and to connect with Him with patience and enthusiasm. Putting our intellect in the Lord, Mai Buddhim Niveshaya, means to let go of our false pride, our identification, our Mithya Abhimana. A lot of pain, miseries that we perceive in daily life are due to our invalid insistence, misconceptions arising out of pride. Only if we understand He is the doer, we are merely the instruments, Nimitta Matra, we can gradually let go of our pride for our work and our achievements. The worldly intelligence does not work in spirituality. In worldly affairs, we need to have a high intelligence quotient, whereas in spirituality, we need an intellect which is pure and subtle, a high spiritual quotient. Krishna shows the benefit of such devotion, that you shall always be connected with me, you shall always stay in me, nivasishyasi mayeva. And when the essential separators, the mind and the intellect, are gone, Jeeva and Ishvara becomes one. Actually, the Lord is a final destination for all, but the main difference is in knowing that oneness. With ignorance, I feel limited, bonded Jiva, whereas with knowledge, I feel unlimited, free Brahma. Krishna reaffirms there is no doubt, Ata Urdhvam Na Sanchaya, in what He is saying. It is a human nature to doubt about the realities, and therefore Krishna says, have no doubt, have faith in the Lord, His order, His system, His grace. Arjuna thinks it looks like a very tall order. Looks like very difficult to achieve. Is there any easier solution, Krishna? Krishna says, Atha chittam samadhatu na shaknosi. If you are not capable of controlling your mind, mai sthiram, and steadying your mind in me, abhyasa yogena tato, he says, then by repeated practice and by study, mam ichchaptum dhananjaya, desire to attain me, ho Arjuna. Krishna is showing the second option. If placing your mind and intellect is too difficult for you, then you can practice repeated study, abhyasa yoga, to achieve perfection and attain me. Practice repeatedly, wherever mind goes, hold it back and bring it back to the divine. If this is also difficult, giving you another option, Bhagavan gives Arjuna the third option, surrender all your actions. He says, abhyasa pi samarthosi mat karma parama bhava. If you are not even capable of repeated study, then perform all your actions for me, madartham api karmani. If you do all your actions for me, Kurvan Siddhim Avapsasi, you shall achieve your goals very soon. Krishna is showing another option to Arjuna. He says, perform all your actions for me, Mat Karma Parama Bhava, which is essentially means changing our attitude towards our actions so that we can convert our karma into karma yoga. Instead of performing only selfish actions for our worldly gains, we can endeavor to do it for the larger benefit, for the universal gains, for the divine. Along with our actions, we can also remember God and do bhakti, seeing all His energies, His grace in all of our actions by understanding that He is the doer, I am just an instrument or nimitta bhava. This will liberate us from the bondage of actions and will purify our mind, antakarana shuddhi. Even if this is difficult, then what? Is there any other option? Krishna shows the fourth alternative. If you are not capable of surrendering your actions for my attainment by surrendering to me, then Krishna says, sarva karma phalatyagam. Tatah Kuru Yatatmavan, then renounce all your fruits of actions by controlling your mind, O Kuru, O Arjuna. The final solution Krishna shows is to renounce all the fruits of actions, Sarva Karma Phalatyaga. We can renounce all desires for the fruits of action, but it is very difficult. To renounce all fruits means we can desire for the fruits of action. It is natural, but we should not have invalid insistence or be obstinate for its results. We should understand that action is my choice, it is my right, it is my department, it is within my control, whereas the fruits of the action that I do or the results of the actions is not under my choice or my right or my control. There are many other factors which control these apart from my efforts. Thus, I should let go of the invalid insistence of a particular result of a particular task done at a particular time. I should understand that while I do the actions, He is the giver of the fruits, and therefore I accept it, prasada buddhi, without any questions or complaints. According to the law of the actions and results, the karma karma phala, I will definitely get the appropriate fruits of all my efforts at an appropriate time, with faith in the giver, as it is a very just law. Krishna praises the renunciation of the fruits of actions, karma phala tyaga, as the highest means. He says, knowledge is superior to repeated practice, meditation is superior to knowledge, renunciation of fruits of action is superior to meditation, because tyaga shanti manantaram, as it giving up leads to lasting peace. So to summarize what Krishna says in the last four verses, first in the eighth verse he says, place your mind, intellect in me. If this is not possible, in the ninth verse he says, then do repeated practice, abhyasa. If this is also not possible, you cannot do this, then do all your actions, surrender to me, karma, do it for Ishwara Arpana Bhavana. And if that is also not possible, in the 11th shloka he says, renounce all the fruits of actions, karma phala tyaga, towards me. Now in the 12th shloka he shows again the renunciation of the fruits of action, karma phala tyaga, is the best of all, because after renouncing the fruits of action there is instant peace. Krishna wants to praise the renunciation. Only after renunciation, all the supporting sadhana can only be practiced after renunciation of the desires of the fruits of action. If the mind is fixed on what will I get and the actions thereafter, then we will be unable to do any repeated practice of the means to attain the divine. Therefore, letting go is also important for our peace of mind. Now in the final 8 verses, from the 13th to the 20th shloka, Krishna describes the attributes of a wise devotee, Jnani Bhakta Lakshana. He shows 33 characteristics of the devotee who has become enlightened with knowledge, Jnani Bhakta Guna, after a spiritual journey. For the enlightened wise, these attributes come very naturally without any efforts, while for the seeker, these are to be learned, practiced with efforts and awareness. They serve as an ideal in the spiritual journey of the seeker and as a goal for all devotees to achieve. Beginning of the attributes of the wise devotee, he starts with the first one, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam. This wise devotee has no dislike or hatred for any being. Dislike or hatred, dvesha, for others gives a lot of pain and no peace to an individual. Like anger, it burns oneself and the other. With true devotion and understanding of the divinity everywhere, the person has no hatred for anyone. The wise understands all is one and has no dislike for any, and as he loves everyone. Even common sense tells me I don't like someone to despise me, and therefore I should also not do the same to others. Thus we should try to respect all beings, love all, by let go of my invalid insistence and stubborn attitude towards others. Finally, seeing divinity in all beings is the final solution to see love everywhere. Second, he says, Maitra, who befriends one and all. A wise man has no enemies, as he or she guides, helps, supports, inspires, protects and others who are in need. Karuna evacha, and one who is compassionate to all. They can see and feel the pain of others and they can have an earnest desire to relieve them from their miseries. Nirmama, nirahankaraha. Nirmama means one who is unattached to all in actions and relations. Befriending others, maitri and karuna, compassion, can cause possessiveness in many forms if we are not aware. We do not need to stop our activities, but we need to keep performing all activities without any clinging. Love and attachment is very natural to humans. The feeling that this is mine keeps expanding as we grow and prosper. This feeling is easy to develop but difficult to leave. The change happens slowly with awareness. The clarity that everything is transient, nothing belongs to me, helps to keep our relations as necessary. Nirahankaraha, a devotee with wisdom has no pride for oneself. Nirahankaraha, our ego is the root of all evils in the world. We glorify it by calling it self-respect, but the distinction between this and the ego or doership is very subtle. The devotee merges his identity with the Lord, and the ego of the wise is burned in the flames of knowledge. The limited ego identification is the root cause of most problems. Pride for our looks, our education, our degree, our position, our strength, qualifications, knowledge, our goodness, and even our relations. While the omnipresent ego, which merges with the universal consciousness, is the only way to attain the Almighty. Knowing that I am an instrument, He is the doer, enables us to take care of our ego. The devotional journey changes our perception from I am something to I am nothing by devotion bhakti, and that I am everything by the knowledge or jnana. Samadukha sukha is equipoised in pain and pleasure. This is a sign of a balance in life, samatva, where one is neither too happy nor too sad in different situations in life. Only such a balanced mind can become capable to understand the self-knowledge. The goal of the spiritual journey is to attain equanimity. By understanding that everything else is relative, one's pleasure is another's pain for others. The next attribute is kshami, one who forgives all, even to those who cause pain to us. Great is that person who can forgive all and be accommodative, even to those who cause them pain. Forgiveness is a grand virtue, and that comes with a deep understanding that all can fail sometime, and that my peace of mind is most important. With such forgiveness comes acceptance of all beings, and this increases my inner strength. Krishna continues the description of the grand virtues of a devotee with knowledge, Jnani Bhakta Lakshana. He says, Satatam Santushtaha, one who is always satisfied. A wise devotee is always satisfied. Satisfaction is not laziness. One needs to follow the call of duty. It is not that the person is not ambitious, but his goals are worthy and not just material goals. We need to understand that desires keep springing in us and our wants has no limits. They keep increasing every day. We need to create a limit for them, a boundary in my life, saying enough is enough. This is with what I am satisfied with, and this gives enough peace as the wants and desires start gradually drying up on its own without much efforts. Satatam yogi, and one who is constantly connected, is an ideal devotee. In devotion with the Lord, the goals must be clear and the means to reach them too. In the spiritual journey, everything else is immaterial. The first priority is given to the divine. The wise is connected to his self, Swarupa, which is natural, while the devotee is connected to the Lord with faith and with efforts, and who is having self-control. Dhradanishchayaha, with a firm resolution. This kind of satisfaction is possible only for one who has self-control over his senses, mind, and with a firm resolution, dhradanishchayaha. No work is successful without firm decisions in life. Firm decisions and rituals are very important in disciplining us in the journey. Saints and renunciates are firmly established in their decisions. They follow the rules firmly, but not rigidly, and at times they are flexible. They know where to be rigid in values and where to be flexible in conduct during their life in Vyavahara. Mayyar Pita Mano Buddhihi, whose mind and intellect are surrendered to me. And this will only help us to let go of our attachments and our ego. Where to surrender? Surrender to the feet of the Lord. And Bhagavan says, Yo Mad Bhakta Same Priyaha, this type of devotee is very, very dear to me. Devotee loves God with love and reverence. And God also just loves his devotees with all his grace. And what is the conduct of such God-loving devotees who have understanding or knowledge? Yasman no dvijate lokaha, lokan no dvijate chayaha. One who does not disturb others and one who is not disturbed by others. The wise are peaceful with their own self, while most others are restless souls. The wise also provide peace to people who come near them as they exude peace, and therefore they do not disturb others. Why are the wise so much at peace? Because they are not in competition with anyone. They have achieved what they wanted to and they feel complete within. They listen without judgment or prejudice and know that they cannot be judged by others and therefore are not disturbed by others. Lokan no dvijate chayaha. They have no desires or expectations from others and therefore they don't need to please anyone. They are fearless without any fear of disease, death, disrespect or of the society. Harsha amarsha bhaya udvegaha muktaha. And these wise devotees, free from all the elation, intolerance, fear, anxieties, all the waves of emotions, dvegaihi, they are muktaha, they are free. And all these emotional upheavals are not there in the wise person. Sachame priyaha, that kind of wise devotee is very dear to me, Bhagavan says. Anapekshaha, who is devoid of expectations. A wise person is devoid of expectations from others. Anapekshaha. Expectations is the root of all the pain and suffering that we undergo. It makes people miserable because others do not live up to our expectations. To become happy, we need to reduce our expectations from others and ourselves too. A wise man is devoid of all expectations, though they do have simple desires of life, but they discriminate between desires and expectations. And they very well know that expectations or apeksha, such as invalid insistence, jida, or obstinate obsession, duragraha, have no place in their life. Absence of expectation does not mean being careless, but means being carefree while doing all our work diligently. Shuchihi, one who is pure and auspicious. A man who understands scriptures is pure and auspicious, knows that the cleanliness shuddhi is important to become auspicious. Not only there is cleanliness outside bahya shuddhi in their body and around them in the place that they live and work, but they are also clean inside antara shuddhi in their minds and hearts. Dakshaha, skillful. A wise man has the inner skills to carry out the tasks in the most efficient manner. They are clever in all their dealings. They take decisions only after due diligence. They understand the true meaning of words described in the scriptures. They have the ability to take the right decisions in given situations. They have a disciplined lifestyle, progress in life, overcome obstacles that come along their way. And they handle emotions well and keep their pride at bay and are always specially aware of their surroundings. And the real skill that they know is to achieve the final goal of life. Udasinaha. They don't take any sides. They are dispassionate. They are neutral. A person who does not take sides is completely dispassionate, udasina. He has risen over all the dualities and is able to see a different aspect from a bird's eye view of the situation. This man is equanimous with no discrimination on either side. He remains steadfast, does not take any sides due to prejudice and remains neutral, does not get perturbed by less skilled person and does not expect too much from others. This person is a skilled person yet unperturbed, udasina, daksha and udasina. Gatavyataha. Another attribute is one whose anguish is destroyed. A man, wise man, is a man without anguish. Gatavyatha. Does not have inner pain or vyatha, which is deep and disturbing. The wise are fearless and have a true understanding of the world. They have deep acceptance of all situations with no agitation. They are the same in gain and loss and they do not get affected by such dualities. The devotee has utmost faith in God, thus he remains unperturbed, while a seeker understands the ups and downs are part of life. They do not give so much importance to the world and its possessions. This helps them to keep their mind at peace in any given situation. Sarvarambha parityagi. Those who have given up all their selfish actions. A wise man has given up all their selfish or self-centered actions. Sarvarambha parityagi. Projects or actions done with a desire for self-fulfillment alone is called a beginning, arambha. The wise, while giving up all self-centered actions, continue to do actions for the benefit of people at large without any pride. Yo mad bhakta same priyaha, Bhagavan says, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Krishna says, such a devotee is very dear to me. This says, he again and again says this, and this displays his love for his devotees, and the seeker is inspired to attain these qualities during its spiritual journey. Krishna admires the balanced view, not the extremes. He says, Yona dveshtati na dveshti, Yona hyashati na dveshti, na shochati na kangshati. One who is not too much elated or becomes hostile, one who does not grieve too much or has too many desires. The wise does not display extremes of emotions. They are not too elated, na hyashati, not too hostile, na dveshtati. And not they do not grieve too much, na shochati, nor too much of desires, na kangshati. The wise are happy. An average person goes through a lot of likes, dislikes, becomes either too happy or too sad. While the wise are steadfast in joy, they do not have too much of ups and downs. The wise do feel their pain but are happy to overcome it easily. They have a childlike innocence and small things make them happy. For a seeker, they need efforts to achieve this kind of maturity and balance of mind. Shubha Ashubha Parityagi. A wise devotee has given up both auspicious and unauspicious. Shubha Ashubha Parityagi. They are in constant connection with Almighty, who is the most auspicious. They accept one and all with understanding, do not discriminate between people, as they are able to see the one tattva that binds everything. The seeker needs to travel from seeing all these differences, abheda buddhi, to seeing oneness in all the differences, abheda buddhi. And bhakti manya samet priyaha, such a devotee is very dear to me. Krishna says such a devotee worships me with devotion without any expectation, selflessly, is most dear to me. And Krishna continues to glorify this evenness. He says, samah shatrau cha mitre cha. One who is the same towards a friend and an enemy. Samatva is easy to listen to but difficult to practice. Towards all friends we can be nice, but can we be nice towards enemies too? That is where we need to have samatva, sameness towards both friends and enemy. Tatha manapamana yoho, to remain equipoised in honor or disgrace. When someone respects us, we feel glad and often elated. Whereas when somebody hurts us, people disrespect us, we have to develop an attitude of equanimity in both honor and disgrace, and to remain equipoised in mana apamana. Shita ushna sukha dukkheshu, remaining same in the opposite, such as cold and heat, pleasure and pain. We need to practice this in life. Life is full of dualities, but samatva is the first step towards progress on the spiritual path. If we get disturbed in minor issues, we cannot progress on this path. And that's why we need to develop an endurance, titiksha, towards all such dualities. Samasanga vivarjitaha, we have to remain free from our attachments. Attachments are the obstacle to our progress, and it is difficult to understand because they come very naturally to us, and only with understanding and practicing mindfulness and detachment we can gradually detach ourselves from strong possessiveness which keeps us bound. Tulya nindastuti, one who is equal in censure and praise. A wise devotee is able to accept criticism and praise in the same stride, and that they would not become too happy in praise, neither get too upset in criticism. Mauni, they are disciplined in their speech. They prefer silence. They speak only what is necessary. With appropriate words, they convey the right meaning. And this gives them a peace of mind, as they do not continue senseless chatter and get disturbed by inappropriately spoken words. Santushtu yena kena chita, satisfied by whatever they get or they obtain. They are very contented souls, happy whatever they receive in life. They consider to be the grace of the divine. Aniketaha, they have no place to call their own home. They do not have any attachment to the place that they call. They can consider themselves like an eternal traveler, halting at one place and then going on to the another. Sthiramatihi, their knowledge is firmly established in day-to-day events. They have a clarity of their sadhya and the sadhana, the goals and the means to attain the goal. Bhakti manme priyo naraha, and so I have highest devotion below it to me. Such a wide devotees are very, very dear to me. And finally concluding, Bhagavan Krishna says, Yetu dharmyat prutabidam, one who follows these values which are tuned with dharma, these divinities which lead to amrutam, lead to immortality. Yathoktam paryupasate shaddhana matparama bhaktaste tivame priyaha, as described, and uphold these values with faith, for whom I am the only goal or the final goal, those devotees are exceedingly beloved to me. Krishna has described this beautiful 33 characteristics of a wise devotee, which we should try to imbibe these divine values, this daivi sampatti in our life. Krishna himself says that such devotees are extremely dear to him. Everyone wants to love God, but very few people are loved by God, and special grace we have to be bestowed by the Lord himself. And this change management of imbibing moral values, guna sampatti, is an important part of our spiritual journey, our adhyatmic sadhana. Guru Ma says we should start with small goals and take one step at a time. Slowly and steadily we should keep pushing our limits and pursue our goals with a positive attitude. We should keep doing it even if it creates pain and difficulties. All change are initially difficult, but all change happens slowly. Shanaihi, shanaihi. It is not easy to change our old habits, but the good news is it is definitely possible to make necessary changes in our life. This needs repeated practice, abhyasa, to make it possible. And who is that ideal devotee? Adarsha bhakta, one who has a deep commitment for the goal to know the truth and to understand the divinity as the basis of this universe. One who has love and compassion for all beings. One who is humble in dealing with all other beings, is soft-spoken and unattached to all, is the most suitable candidate to progress on this path. With this, we come to the end of the 12th Adhyaya. Om Tat Sat Iti శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీతాసు ఉపనిషత్సు బ్రహ్మ విద్యాయాం యోగ శాస్త్రే శ్రీకృష్ణార్జున సంవాదే భక్తి యోగో నామ ద్వాదశోధ్యాయః. థ్యాంక్ యూ ఫర్ లిసనింగ్ టు దిస్ ఎపిసోడ్ ఇన్ ద సిరీస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్ యువర్ లైఫ్ బై అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఆఫ్ భగవద్గీత. This is your host Sanjeev. Hope you have gained by the sharing. For more detailed understanding, please visit YouTube channel S Hari Bhakti. It's one word, SHARIBHAKTI, where you'll find multiple Adhyaya videos arranged in respective playlists. Or you could join WhatsApp learning group, the Bhagavad Gita study group, where we do a guided in-depth study of Bhagavad Gita over 1 year period. Do send me an email request on sharibhakti, it's one word, @gmail.com, so I can share a link for you to join this group. Thank you.